January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, sports mappers? You're a little late for the party, but hey, better late than never. We appreciate you joining us on the mix. That is The Usual Suspects. For those of you suspects that have been with us since 1 o'clock, we appreciate you. Welcome aboard to the 94.1 Sports Mappers that are joining us now till 4. Simulcast the rest of the way, as you'll get both stations till 7, which means the Blitz starting at 4, taking you all the way home. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. Had a very entertaining and fun show to this point, I guess I'm privileged enough to be able to say. I mean, I'll take the liberty of saying that. I think
it's been fun. We talked a lot about dating and dating apps and pickup lines and some of the stuff
MMA
that we've seen.
Golf,
yep, we talked some rockets and basketball. Somebody said about the whole your buddy that would flick the water in the face of a woman and then himself and say, "Let's go get out of these wet clothes." Mm-hmm. Someone texted and said, "Wow. That may be the most pathetic thing I've ever heard. You will definitely not be spraying water in a black woman's face or anyone with self-esteem." So, I do think that that would matter. I think if you tried that on certain races of women, you might catch an ass whooping. I feel like if you did that to a white girl, it might go over a little better.
Okay.
I'm not going to speak on that.
I know you guys are nervous about this.
No, it's not.
Anytime I bring up race, you guys get nervous.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I do kind of get nervous sometimes when he does it. But I'm not going to speak for Joel. But I don't think all white girls are like that. That's what I'm going to say.
Some of them, you're right. But I think if you looked at numbers, like who this would work on more. Now, did you have, you witnessed it a few times. Mm-hmm. Was it all white girls? Was it were there any black women in there or Hispanic women?
I can honestly say that was accurate in that case.
It was all white women?
Yeah.
Mm, okay. So we have a small sample size, but the texter might be onto something there.
We Brock Osweiler'd the sample size, but yeah.
Blew it up a little bit. Barry, I'm sure you do plenty of lame stuff, you know, like being a male with cats.
Well, that's coming back again.
Hmm. Super sweet text. I'm glad. I hope you're happy that I read your text for you, because I know you tried really hard. That's it.
You always get, because Barry's always like when he may preview on the fly. But he doesn't stop talking while he's previewing on the fly. And you can always tell.
Oh, no, I knew. I had flagged that one. That was not a preview on the fly.
Because I haven't looked at the text, but I'm saying. But then there's like fun, agitated, and then there's the pregnant pauses when you know, okay, you went over the line, sir.
Well, yeah. You know, sometimes I think idiots just need to know that they're idiots.
Well, because obviously it's not very clear cut to them.
Most idiots don't know they're idiots.
No, they don't have a mirror.
No, they don't. So I found some of my pickup lines that Tracy was referring to. As far as the old ones I was telling you that I had.
Yes.
And I was trying to see if there were any other good ones, because the two that I do on stage is "Say Girl, Are You a Beaver?" Because damn, you are hairy. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one. And then the other one is "Say Girl, I want to treat you like my pinky toe and bang you on the coffee table." That's the other one.
Right.
So that's the two I do on my set. But there were others that I wrote. Like, have you ever heard the "Say Girl, are you from Tennessee?
Because you're the only 10 I see.
Because you look like white trash."
I thought you were going to say the only, because I've heard that right. Cheesy pickup line.
Yeah, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I took the pickup lines and I tried to not make them right. Normal pickup lines. Right. Like, I was trying to find the other one that I liked. "Say girl, here's my number. Give that to your hot friend." That's not, you're probably not going to get laid doing that. That probably won't
that's
work.
Nick at the country bar. Yeah.
Been there, done that, bro. Don't do it. Just saying.
Oh, there was one other one. No, that one's too mean. I'll skip some of the mean ones. We'll move on. But yeah, I have a whole bunch of them. On my Twitter, if you just go there, they're like buried in all of the pictures, but they're there. Go read them. That Barry is funny.
They're buried.
I was drawing a blank on what I...
What?
Hey, watch out now.
Never. Okay.
Never heard that one, have you?
No, uh-uh. So this is kind of weird on the Astros front.
Okay.
So the Astros get a day off. So they come off of All-Star break. They play a 3-game series in Anaheim, and now they get another day off before they play a 2-game series in Colorado.
Yep.
Not sure you need... That's like having your bye week in the NFL in week 2.
I know, that sucks. First week, yeah. Bye weeks, like the first ones to go.
Yeah.
That would suck the most. Was it week 4, I think, when they start bye weeks?
The earliest you can have it is, I believe, week 4 or 5.
Yeah, yeah. That sucks. But I don't know. I mean...
McCullers might need a little extra time. Jeez, second straight. I'm glad you admit it and you're cool about it. Even on Twitter, he was responding to people going, "Yeah, bro, you got me, but you know, it's for the long haul and all this other stuff." But at some point, I mean, this is two stinkers in a row. Next thing you know, he's going to be Dallas Keuchel for the month of July, as opposed to everybody that wanted him traded and out. Looks like he's righted his ship. But Lance has not looked good. His signature curveball hasn't been what it normally is. And he's struggled
curvy,
a little bit.
Yeah. Not as curvy. Yeah, 4.1 innings, 5 earned runs. I didn't see a lot of his outing. I did tune in late and saw the last inning that he pitched. 5 earnings and 6 earnings back-to-back. It's one of those things, though. You're going to have bad games. You just hope that he's not trending in the wrong direction or teams are figuring out his game plan or MO. But like you said, with Keuchel, I mean, it was the same thing. You just got to figure it out. What I loved about last night is getting to watch J.D. Davis pitch.
That was where I was going next.
And then Kinsler goes yard on him. But then who did he strike out right after Kinsler? Because I was like, oh, he got somebody with some heat. It wasn't Valbuena, was it?
No, it was...
It was Brasino, their catcher.
Okay.
Struck him out with some cheese up and in at like 93. You know, if a position player comes in, because I think Valbuena just grounded out to short. But if you get struck out by a position player, aren't you getting fined in kangaroo court? That's got to be...
You should, right?
For sure.
But then you've got, because it's been a trend, and I saw a stat where people just didn't have enough to do in the stats department, I think, at ESPN, but they brought up that this is the most position players ever to have pitched in a big league season, or they've tied that, and we still have months to go in the season. But yesterday alone, there was like 3 games where position players were pitching. In the Milwaukee game, the Brewers infielder that was pitching was throwing Ephuses, and the Dodger hitter leaned into it.
No.
And took his base. If I was the umpire, I'd be like, nah, get back here. We're not doing that. Leaned into an Ephus that I think they clocked at like 43 miles an hour and was like, yeah, I'm going to first. I'm like, dude, are you that hard up to get on base?
Now, for you might have to tell people what an Ephus pitch is.
Lob.
Bugs Bunny. Yeah. Remember the Bugs Bunny pitch where he would wind up and then he would throw it and it would take like 45 seconds to get to the plate and it would be...
I could say Dave LaRoche, but not enough would understand that he was known to throw the Ephus, which is just essentially it's like a slow lob. It's like worse than batting practice.
Yeah. Worse.
Yeah, it's like literally a slow pitch softball pitch, but it's coming overhand.
Yeah. Are you worried about your boy?
Which boy is that?
Harris.
You know what? I'm not Patrick Creighton. I don't need Pepto. But he's definitely not the all-star Will Harris, and they've definitely got to figure some things out. The more thing I'm worried about more than
case,
that
is this a is that a case of what have you done for me lately?
Well, look, in the past, if you watch this team on a regular basis, you realize that his breaking pitches covered some ground, that his placement on his fastball was pretty pinpoint. And this year, those factors are not there like they were in the past. But it's sure, it's easy to say, you know, lately. But look, you go across the board and look at the bullpen. Devo's giving up bombs.
Yeah.
Peacock's giving up bombs. Will Harris, those three guys who you relied on so heavily in the regular season in the last 2 years have not been themselves. And the thing that really concerns me that I was going to ask you about is now with Familia gone and the Mets making a trade with the A's of all teams, that market's starting to dry up too. So I put on there, is Britton the last man standing? Now, I know that Cincinnati's a team that everybody's going to pick up the phone and call as well.
Yeah.
But that's basically your only two options left. And now instead of the Astros and maybe another team or two, just on the Zach Britton front, because he's been throwing fairly well, you've got the Diamondbacks, the Cubs, the Rockies, the Brewers, the Red Sox, the Braves, the Yankees now want in on top of the Astros. You're now almost looking at 10 teams that are going to try and kick the tires on Zach Britton. So you don't want that kind of competition. And you want to be able to say, that's our guy. Plus, your track record dealing with Baltimore, when the owner gets involved at the last minute and blew the Britton deal up a year ago, has not been great. I don't like it. I hope they deal with Cincinnati, but I hope they do it sooner rather than later because teams are making moves that the Astros aren't.
You know, I feel like, and I'm not suggesting that this is accurate or whatnot, but I feel like the Astros feel like they're in a position that the bullpen has been pretty damn good all year. Now, it hasn't, you haven't, although you can say that the guy that you had tabbed to be your lockdown closer in Ken Giles has not been that, but Rondon has. And that's why you brought that's why you brought in Joe Smith and Rondon, because they had closing experience, and you knew Ken Giles faltered down the stretch last year and was a no-show in the playoffs and the World Series. So you got guys with closer experience and good stuff that you can count on, and one of them has risen to the top, and that was Rondon. I thought it would have been Joe Smith, personally.
But there are still people that don't trust Rondon, and I think that, again, we go back and forth on this. When you bring the numbers up, there's no denying the numbers, and they brought it up on the national telecast on Saturday even, saying, look, by the numbers, this bullpen rates at the top of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But by the trust factor, the eye test, however you look at it otherwise, you also know if you're an Astros fan, there have been some pretty significant failures along the way from the bullpen that has reason for concern. Fair?
No, I don't think we're ever going to agree
on probably
this. Because my argument, it continues. If there's a guy that is consistently giving up runs and blowing games, that's one thing. But if it's that's why you also can't look at ERA, because when you have a reliever that may go out and pitch a third of an inning in one game and then another inning in the next, and in that one inning gives up four runs but hasn't given up anything in 15 or 20 games, it balloons the ERA, but it was one game, one outing, one inning. And I mean, with Devo, he's given up six runs in his last three games. That's a little more concerning than a guy like Harris, who's given up the four runs in this game, in a game that didn't matter.
But and, overall, and the last time he gave up more than a run, solid.
But the last time he gave up more than a run was June 25th.
More than a run, but in some cases, you need to not give up a run.
No. July 9th, he gave up one run. The next time he gave up a run was June 25th. And since then, he's pitched in probably 15 games or 10 games. So, it goes back to that point of, I think sometimes we tend to panic when it happens because we think, oh, here we go again, because it might be a different person.
But you can't
each
tell
time
me
in the bullpen.
That if I was telling you Craig Kimbrell's coming in, or Aroldis Chapman, or guys like that, that you wouldn't have more confidence knowing they were going to finish the game for you than one of the guys that we just mentioned from the Astros pen.
But they're also lockdown closers.
Come on, that's a fair point.
No. You're talking about established lockdown
I'm
closers.
I'm talking about the Astros don't have that level, guy. Though, whether it be from the team or the fan base, you're like, we don't
Astros
have that guy that
have
I believe
that
in.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But what I'm saying is, just because a guy gives up four runs and it balloons his ERA like Will Harris, it doesn't mean that he's been ineffective. It just feels like it now.
I didn't say ineffective, but I'm just saying from a, overall, my big thing is from that trust level, when you bring a guy into a game, he's going to shut the door.
I'm going to look. I would be willing to bet you that the pattern that Craig Kimbrell has would be similar to somebody like Will Harris
or
Rondon.
I knew when I said
that.
I saw your, I'm going back to Nick now. I saw the facial expression to know you were going to dabble in the numbers.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I just for what I'm talking about numbers being stretched around.
And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying in the spirit of the discussion, I'm just saying I think a lot of fans feel what I feel, which is I just don't have that trust when they go to the pen. I'd like to see the starters. Thank God they've been as good as they've been all year and going deep into games. I just don't feel confident anymore when they turn the ball over to a lot of the relievers in that pen.
Okay.
So, oh, you, Mike, don't go anywhere. We were waiting to see where you've been today.
No, we haven't.
So you're rearing your ugly head. And we hear, and we need to confirm, Mike, that you will be a part of the listener appreciation party.
What?
That would be news in itself. Oh, you, Mike, is next. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects on SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects. Nick, Barry, Joel, a Monday. Fun day because of you guys. We appreciate you. Speaking of that... Boy. So, OU Mike's on hold. OU Mike, Barry and I were both listening on the way in. I don't know, Barry, if you caught it or not.
I did not.
I heard OU Mike join Nick and Dell without Raheel.
Funny call.
It was funny. But it's been done. So, two shows nightly. This one's going to tell us a lot. Is the material fresh, or is he going to go to the rewind button? And first, before anything else, Mike, we need to know. Will you be attending the listener appreciation party?
I told Nick I can neither confirm nor deny. And besides, between now and then, I have plenty of time to have my invite revoked.
This is true.
It's true. I swear to God, if you show up with no shoes on, though, Mike.
I called about dating sites.
He blew you off.
Okay.
They can be very misleading. I really like this girl I met on SluttyWhores.com, and she is definitely not a .com.
Huh?
She's definitely a .com.
No, not a .com.
Not a .com.
You don't get it?
No.
I don't either.
You didn't look like you got it initially either.
No, I got it. It's an old trick in comedy where you're like, yeah, I was talking to this chick. She was like, you're an ugly idiot. And I was like, hey. I'm not an idiot. Get it? I'm ugly, but I'm not an idiot.
Yeah.
These girls, it was at slutty whatever.com.
My bad.
They're definitely not .coms.
My bad.
But they are slutty.
Don't catch me lying. That was a slab that I thought was concrete.
I kind of wish he would have just done the other joke.
The call that he had was perfect.
Was better
was
than
during,
that?
During your show.
Oh, so y'all are getting the A material, and we're just getting his workshop open mic jokes?
It's probably not even the first time where we didn't get his A material, but he can only, I mean, I think it's only one home run per day for him, right?
Like
is
I
that
said,
fair?
The Chris Carter of callers.
Yeah. Look, they're normally Texas League singles. They're not home runs. He gets the occasional extra base hit.
That's true. That's true. I enjoy his calls.
Oh, I do too.
But yeah.
Not always.
I agree with that as well. It is kind of a hit and miss, and there's a lot of misses along with the occasional hits.
That's right.
If we're talking about singles hitters. News of the day and the weekend. One thing that's kind of discouraging getting ready for NFL camps, in case you missed it, Tony Sparano. The one-time coach of the Miami Dolphins, the interim coach of the Raiders, currently he was the offensive line coach of the Vikings, suddenly and unexpectedly passes away at the age of 56.
Oh, damn. That's horrible.
Yeah, the whole NFL community is coming his family's help, trying to offer sympathy and support. But that's a shocker, man. I mean, 56 years old. And then, people got to know who Tony Sparano was. He was a Cowboys coach for a while, coached with a lot of prominent coaches. But then he got his shot with Miami. He took a team that was very bad one year and turned them around to get him into the playoffs the next. And then after that, it just kind of went south with the team that he had. But always had a job in the NFL. That should tell you something, that he was highly regarded. And like I said, very unexpected is the way it was positioned. And that's just you never like to hear that when someone goes at 56.
Man, that's sad.
Yeah, so that's not good. Also out of the NFL, Josh Gordon is going to miss the start of training camp for the Cleveland Browns. I know that shouldn't shock a lot of people, but it's not because he's had a relapse. They're having him meet and continue to meet with his counselors for wellness, health, and his treatment plan.
Yeah, Patrick Randall had sent us a tweet, and it was Gordon's initial tweet. And I want to find it because he was like, uh-oh, here we go again, or something like that. And I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, this isn't that bad.
It's so, more like preventative than anything else.
This was the tweet that he deleted, the thread that he deleted, and then his publicist.
Josh Gordon deleted
it? Yeah. So it says, to my Cleveland, tell me if this sounds strange to you or bad.
I haven't heard.
All right. To my Cleveland Browns and NFL family, I'm reaching out to you all personally and letting you know that I am not only doing great physically but mentally as well. You will notice that I will not be in Cleveland for the start of training camp. Rest assured, this too is part of my overall health and treatment plan. I appreciate the awesome support I have received from my teammates, friends, fans, and Browns organization. Just like you, I am excited to start the season, and I have every intention of being ready and available to join my teammates soon to help bring winning football to our fans. With the help of the NFL, the NFLPA, and the Browns organization, I have been able to utilize the resources available to me that will ensure my well-being on and off the field. By continuing to follow the plan set up by our medical director and his team, and taking this time before the season starts, we believe it will help me maintain the progress I've made for not only today, but for many years to come. Thank you all for the patience, love, and support. Go Browns. Sincerely, Josh Gordon.
I'm good with all of it until they told me he took it down, because then there's got to be something there that he didn't do or that's against what he put in his tweet, right?
He deleted all that, and I said, it said his people, for Patrick said, his people forced him to take it down for PR purposes. They came out with their own version of why he wasn't in camp. They skim over the fact that he's a bit of a self-admittedly head case right now. I don't understand what was wrong with it. That kid was an open, honest
If anything,
book.
That would endear him to the
I
fan
like
base.
I like him more now.
And, yeah, and open a door for those that might have shut it on him going, hey, maybe he is getting the help he needs
and if
and
he
he's
is
good.
A head case, so what? Do you know how many people deal with what he's going through but keep it under wraps and don't talk about it? Who was the guy? There's a couple other football players that came forward with mental health issues. Not football, basketball. He's a Banana Republic model. Kevin Love. Remember Kevin Love came forward?
He sure did this last year.
There's another player, too.
Mental issues.
I just can't remember his name.
If he's a guy and he's a Banana Republic model, enough said. Yeah,
but I'm saying, like, what's wrong with Josh Gordon coming out and saying, yes, I have mental health issues and I'm working on it so that I can do my job? Leave the guy alone.
But the only thing I said is,
we criticize them when they're I mean, I feel bad for players. They're damned if they do and damned if they don't.
No, the only thing I was going to say is,
DeMar DeRozan,
if they made him take it down, maybe there was one of those things that he said that they could pinpoint and say, but you're not following that plan or what they gave to him. I don't know.
I don't know.
That's the way nitpicky things go.
Or I didn't see
when you say
there.
Things that you know you're going to get fined for, and then you ask people to take them down on social media or otherwise, that's just... That's how those things happen.
I don't know.
If you're in the Rockets
front. Yeah.
All right, so we've got a half hour to go in the big show. Eric, we see you. We'll get to you. I got a pretty good indication of where you're going. But if you want to join the show in the final half hour, it's 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with the final 30 minutes right here on SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. 30 minutes to go in the really big shoe. Really big, really big shoe. Do you even know who that is?
Nick doesn't.
No, that's why I was asking. I know you know.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Who, you don't know who Ed Sullivan is?
No.
It's a really big shoe.
He was like...
Look, he's going straight to the Googles. Google Siri and find out who Ed Sullivan is.
John?
He used to talk about the big show.
Paul? We've Ringo? Got a,
yes. He's the one that broke the Beatles and Elvis,
he was born
right?
in 1901.
Yeah.
Yeah. They,
and he died in 1974.
Yeah, you don't know who that
no,
is?
No, I do not know who Ed Sullivan is. Kind of dumbass like, question what? Is that?
But why are you way being back so Wednesday, aggressive? 1974 was solid.
I Google
Nick.
Ed Sullivan. He was born in 1901. If you were born in 1901, you know, outside of Barry Warner, I do not know who you are.
I'm going to be real honest.
He
I
was
had
the
no
Johnny Carson of his day.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was going to say.
He was
yeah.
the Johnny Carson before Johnny Carson.
Don't give a damn.
You don't have don't to be know so who aggressive.
No, I'm being aggressive.
You don't.
Because you talk to me like I don't know who this guy is. Yeah, I don't know who he is.
No,
1901.
He wasn't being belligerent about it.
Yeah, he was.
No, he wasn't.
He was being rude and condescending.
No. I was none of that, you dick.
Wow! That escalated quickly.
God, I hate you. All right.
That is wild and wacky stuff, Ed. I did not know that. I did not know that, Ed. What were you saying about a name game?
All Ed did was laugh and do the Publisher's Clearinghouse. By the way, they still do the Publisher's Clearinghouse.
Yeah.
You know that, right? Oh, you don't know what that is. You don't know anything. You're just a dumbass.
It's like the
idiot.
Lottery before
young,
the lottery. Nick.
Young punk idiot. All right, let's give something away. Smooth.
Yes! All right, you are, mighty one.
As you guys know, we play the name game every single day right here on ESPN 97.5 and sometimes on SportsMap 94.1 if you're listening. Well, we're doing it again. And the name game is we give you two names. If one of those is yours and you're the first caller to the station, then you win the prize for the day. Today's prize is a pair of tickets to see Nightbird in concert. Nightbird is a Fleetwood Mac tribute band. They'll be taking the stage in the concert hall at the House of Blues Saturday, August 11th. Doors open at 7 p.m. I've got good news, boys. Hell yeah. We are the show doing the giveaway today. We are looking for a Brian or an Adam to call the show. Brian or Adam. Be the first caller now. 713-780-3776. And you win a pair of tickets to see Nightbird in concert. And no, if you're Brian Adams, you cannot win.
Ah, but you still have the summer of 69. What about Adam with a T? Because we have Adam with a T.
Or Brian with a Y.
I don't care how it's spelled. Just be Brian or Adam.
But you're not the one that's the judge and jury on this, Commissioner.
Neither are y'all.
That's why we're asking the question.
I think Brian. Adam, like A-T-O-M, I'm not sure. But Adam or Brian, like how, depending on how you spell it, I think is fine. Like any
well,
Brian.
Adam and Adam is the same. You just, instead of a
actually,
Y
yeah,
and
we'll
R-I-R-Y, you're using a T instead of a D. It's still Adam.
There's one caller that spells his name A-T-O-M.
Exactly.
Well, you know, if you call in.
Good luck, whoever you are.
Brian or Adam?
Nightbird. You know, I did they're a cover band. And I did that gig where I opened for some cover bands.
Yeah.
They take that serious.
Yeah, some of them are some really bad cover bands.
And a lot
though.
Of people, because I guess there's been several this last weekend, a lot of cover bands out there that people just go crazy. And then they, of course, have to post the videos on social media. And people are like, they've only got one living member. And they're like, no, none of them are members. They're cover bands.
There's a whole cover band scene where they're like serious about cover banding. Where they're like, there's one, I was in the green room with the cover bands and one guy was like, yeah, Bobby got out of it. He said he's going mainstream. He's tired of doing covers. He's going to go out and he's going to do his own thing. I was like, and in my mind, I'm thinking, this is a thing? I thought you guys were just horsing around. And then I realized after talking to some of these cats and listening to them talk about music, that because they're in a cover band, and I don't want to throw any of the ones that I worked with
throw them.
Under
Come
the
on.
Bus. Let's just say that there was a Lynyrd Skynyrd cover band. Skynyrd Lynyrd. And let's just call them that. I don't know if that's true or not. I have no idea. But if I were going to do a Lynyrd Skynyrd cover band, that's what I would call us.
It's a good name.
Skynyrd Lynyrd. Well, the guitarist in the Skynyrd Lynyrd cover band thinks that because he covers Lynyrd Skynyrd songs, he's as good as the musicians in Lynyrd Skynyrd. And I realized that by talking to these cats that they're like, oh, yeah, I could have made it. Yeah, I could. Yeah, I know I sound like Bon Jovi. I could have been Bon Jovi. Just no one likes me. It's like, no, that's not how Bon Jovi works. Like, there's, and I'm not saying that that was the actual group, but they take it really serious.
Well, a lot of them take it serious and they suck. Because I just went to a tribute band cover band yeah. concert, and they all four of them were just horrible.
Really?
All of them. One did Limp Bizkit, one did Rage Against the Machine, one did Deftones, one did, I forgot what the fourth one, and they all sucked.
Korn. Like, didn't even sound like him?
No.
They At sucked. Least the ones I worked with, they sounded like them. They sounded good.
On some of them, the guitar riffs did not sound
out
the same.
Out of tune. They're like, well, my guitar, like, it was in the pawn shop, like, I had to pay rent. So I'm going to use this banjo for my Limp Bizkit cover band.
And that particular concert, too, there was four different bands. So, like, when one is done, they'll, like, go to the crowd and mingle, expecting to get all that attention, and a lot of them don't. Like, they're like, yeah, why is nobody looking at me? Because you suck.
But a lot of care. But again, to Barry's point, a lot of these people... It's like the Elvis impersonators. Not just like you just want to be an Elvis impersonator, but they take the pride in saying, I sound just like him. Or like the people playing the instruments are saying, I can do that guitar riff just as good as Eddie Van Halen or whoever did it. And it's like they take it too serious.
The difference is I realized that you can play the riff. Anyone could play those songs. The difference is those guys came up with those songs. That's why you're not them.
My theory, too.
Is that Eddie Van Halen sits down and writes that music. You read it and then play it again. That's the difference.
Yep.
But.
And my theory, I feel like they make the audio quality bad on purpose, like the venue, because they know they can't sing or sound like it. Honestly, I really believe that.
It could be. It very well could be. Somebody said, I'm 34 and I know who Ed Sullivan is. In your face, aggressive Nick.
Whatever.
In your aggressive face.
34 and knows Ed Sullivan.
And then this one came in.
You were born in the 70s, sir.
Nick, WTF, your man boobs got you a little touchy today, big guy.
Why?
That was from L.U. Dillon.
Dillon. He's back.
Yeah, he's back.
All right, Clarence, Eric, hang in there. We'll get you here on the final segment of the big show. We've got one segment still to go. Right here on Sports Map 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. Back to wrap it up, put a bow on it, hand it off to the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. I don't know what to take. Thought I was focused, but I'm scared.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back, final segment, Usual Suspects. Got a long way to go, short time to get there, so we're going to do...
Eastbound and Down.
What they say can't be done. We're going to get to all these callers before the end of the show, hopefully, in order. Eric, you're first. What's up? Eric, got to go. Let's go.
It's not Eric, it's Clarence. What up?
Hey, what's up, Clarence?
Okay. Wrong button, Clarence. What's up, brother?
That was my bad. My bad, Eric. We'll get you next.
Clarence, go, bud.
All right. First, it's real sucking to hear about Bryan Adams. I mean, stuff Bryan Adams. Tony Sparano. He was a good coach. A hell of a people person. It sucked to hear about that. And I hope they honor his memory throughout this entire season. Secondly, Nick, how do you not know about Publisher Clearinghouse? I'm only 34, and I know about it, and Ed Sullivan.
First of all, quit lying and saying you're 34, because you're not 34.
I am 34. I just turned 34 yesterday.
Cool. Happy birthday,
hey,
man.
Happy birthday, Clarence.
Happy birthday, dude.
Still don't believe it, but okay.
Thank you. I'll show you my ID whenever I see you. I turned 34 yesterday. And since y'all still looking for Bryan Adams, everything I do, I do it for you. And I'm out.
Appreciate the call, Clarence.
Now that was a cover.
All right. Yes, that was a cover.
Eric, we promised. So what's up?
Hey, guys. How do y'all feel about the standing ovation that the Trumpsters gave Hader in Milwaukee? And Barry, have you ever heard of a comedian called Texas Trevino? I'll hang up and listen.
I've never heard of Texas Trevino. I know that there's a is it Rick Trevino?
Hmm?
Yeah, there's a like an Alex or Felix or Trevino or something like that, but I've never heard of did he say Texas Trevino?
I was going to say we hung up too soon cuz I wasn't following that.
The whole standing ovation thing, I mean, I wasn't going to stand, but
no.
They're going to do what they're going to do, I suppose.
Look, it's my hometown, and
you
I
be ashamed
and it
of yourself.
Was it, look, it was shameful in the fact that normally a standing ovation, especially in any sport, is because of something done outstanding. That wasn't outstanding. I mean, that was something that was a huge mistake that he's lucky to be getting somewhat of a get out of a jail free card by saying, well, I was young. I was 17. Well, you could drive a motor vehicle. You know, you were on social media, so you were doing a lot. And I don't think that anything that he did warranted a standing ovation.
No, it's a bad look.
It really is.
Just if you want to clap at a standing ovation.
I got somebody that's going to come to my defense, by the way. About Ed Sullivan. Before we get to the call of Patrick making fun of me. Is that cool?
I don't care. Who?
Why are you giving me that look?
Who is it?
What's wrong?
Who is it? You're staring right in there.
Hey, guys.
Get this idiot off the...
You guys are the idiots. You guys are saying, oh, you don't know who Ed Sullivan is? And then you're talking about Publishers Clearing House, and yes, that's Ed McMahon, you dumbasses.
We know that.
You got your heads mixed up.
No.
You're roping everybody in.
Yeah. First of all, we were talking about Carson because we said Ed Sullivan was the Johnny Carson of his day, and then we started talking
without
about...
Without transition, listen, you start going...
Listen,
he's known
shut
for,
up!
Never did you say McMahon.
Dude, stop talking
never
for a second.
Never did you say McMahon.
We talked about Johnny Carson, and then we said Ed McMahon didn't do anything. Nick, no. Do you know who the Publisher's Clearinghouse
you
is?
You said Ed Sullivan
exactly
didn't
what we
do
said.
Anything.
No.
You misspoke, dummy.
Well, then... then I think people know Johnny Carson, it was Ed McMahon.
I thought so too. What you're saying, Ed Sullivan, all Ed Sullivan ever did was Publishers Clearinghouse.
No.
And by the way, I said I completely knew Nick didn't know who Ed Sullivan was. That's what I said.
Of course he doesn't. Nick's like 19.
Right.
He doesn't know.
Okay, well, I'm sorry we misspoke. We obviously meant Ed McMahon, and I think anyone that knows Johnny Carson, I'll go back and listen because I think you're wrong. I'm pretty sure I said Ed McMahon.
Okay. I was just driving in my automobile and I heard your wrongness, but that's okay.
I hate you.
No big deal. No big deal. It sounded good, though. It sounded crisp and clean on SportsMap 94.1. You guys should stay tuned for the show after this.
No, don't.
Hey, Patrick's been waiting a while. Let's get Patrick in here. Patrick, what's up?
Yeah, man, I feel violated. I thought I had to wait till 4 o'clock to be bored and annoyed with that guy's voice.
That's what you get.
Anyway, so Nick, man, I don't care how old you are. I'm starting to think that you should not take your job seriously.
Ooh.
So, Barry, I'm sure when you wanted to be a stand-up comic, you studied all the comics that came before you, tape after tape after tape.
I did.
And same with Joel. You want to be on the radio or you want to do something with sports, you study everything that came before you so that you can be well-read and knowledgeable about what you're talking about. How is somebody who wants to be successful in the entertainment industry not know one of the...
Why am I in the entertainment industry? Why am I in the... This is a sports talk radio show that happens to be... We happen to utilize the entertaining approach. Why do I have to know about Ed Sullivan to be successful in this business? Please explain that to me.
Just so you don't sound like a dumbass.
Here's the deal, bro. If you really want to be successful in this business, you have to put effort. You have to try. You have to act like you like what you're doing. No one gives a two crap about Ed Sullivan, who died in 1974. No one gives a damn.
Well, congratulations.
Okay. All right. What else do you have to say? Like, are you gonna bring something else to the table or what? That's such a stupid call. This is the second call we have where someone calls in and talks about how, this is why you're bad, or this is why you're wrong, or this is why you're a dumbass. You're a dumbass. No one cares about Ed Sullivan.
I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Ed Sullivan was born in 1901.
Who gives a damn about Ed Sullivan? It's ridiculous.
I'm just mad you let AJ get on the air here.
Well, that was just... I didn't think he was going to take that approach, honestly, but I thought it was
funny.
How
are you going to come on and not let me finish my sentence? Like, I would never not let him finish his sentence on his show.
I thought you guys were about to transition into this dumbass call, Patrick.
No.
And that's why I was trying to squeeze in AJ.
That's all on you, letting him come in here and try to big dog us on our show.
I just went to the call as soon as I could so that we could get back to business and also make sure we took care of our listeners.
I'm fighting him at the break. I don't care. I'm fighting this dude.
That's our show. We welcome all hate, but yeah, don't expect for 1 second that you're going to call in and throw hate and not expect anything back.
One thing we've been very clear about is the fact that we're pretty much known as the people that are going to stick up for themselves. Right?
I took one call and I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to let that slide. I wasn't going to let Patrick's dumb ass talk like that.
Barry's in here reconstructing the studio.
Because I got to get ready to fight AJ right now.
Here's the thing. I said from the get-go, Barry and I both started the conversation with it.
This one's for you, Joel.
I said, Nick is not going to know Ed Sullivan, nor do I blame you, because my parents knew who Nick
was. Because nobody cares.
Yeah, my parents watched Ed Sullivan.
That's like saying, though, like, do you know who Elvis is?
I do know who Elvis is. Who died in his, what, 30s, 40s, 5 years after this guy died. Like, he died in 77. So he was way younger than him.
What does that matter? You know a dude that was around in the 70s and the 60s. What does that matter?
If someone said, you don't know who Elvis Presley is, and you know who Elvis Presley is, but you don't know who Ed Sullivan is, I don't think people would be like, oh my God.
Like, I'm only 10 years older than you. That's not a lot of time. He died the year I was born. But I still know who it is.
Yeah, that was what, 20 years, what, 45 years ago?
44.
Yeah. I don't know anything about the 70s. I don't even care.
You do know that their music.
I do like their music. I do like some of their music, yeah. But one day,
you're going to have this discussion with someone 10 years younger than you, and you're going to hate them. You're going to be like, you guys don't know who Jimmy Fallon is?
No, I will not. There was an intern here who did not know who Tupac was. I did not get upset.
What?
Yeah.
You should have.
Didn't even get upset at all.
Dude, you have
he
to
doesn't
get
upset. Care. He doesn't care.
Well, that who was it?
19 years old does not
who
care
was
about
it?
Tupac.
He's an idiot.
An intern?
Yeah.
Who I'm 37 years older names. Than both of you, and
I want them out of here.
And I'm the guy who loves Tupac. I didn't get mad that he didn't know who Tupac is. He doesn't care who Tupac is.
I don't know if mad would be the word to describe what I am. Disappointed.
You've let him down, Nick.
All those black and white pictures of Ed Sullivan.
we try and do our best Monday through Friday, which means, hey, another day, another show. That's tomorrow. But, hey, you don't have to do anything. And on your way home, the Blitz will take you there on both SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. Y'all have a great night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy. On Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.